This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It may be shocking, but true. Yesterday, Vladimir Putin declared that Western leaders, including American leaders, think they're chosen by God. But he didn't finish there. He said, although they themselves don't believe in God. So let me ask you a question. Do we really believe in God in this country, in Europe, in the Western world, in NATO? Do we really believe in God? Well, here's the problem with believing in God. God doesn't command us to believe in him. He commanded us to believe him. And there's a whole lot of difference between believing in God and believing God. In fact, belief in God may be actually killing America because we think we can believe in him without believing him and without walking in his spirit. Maybe that's part of our problem. Maybe we need some fresh oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Maybe we need a little more intimacy with the Holy Spirit because, you see, we're not walking very well according to the Spirit of God in America. In fact, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul tells us that if we walk in the flesh, we're not walking according to the Spirit. And if we walk according to the flesh, we're fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, and we can't please God. In fact, we're at war with God, he said. You might want to read that, re-up there on Romans chapter 8. It's a fascinating piece of scripture there that is not often spoken about. Maybe the reason is because it comes too close to home. But today on Viewpoint, you might actually say, and our guest today is basically saying that, you know, we may profess Christ as Savior, but we're just not living with him as Lord. In fact, the flesh has become our Lord in many respects, and the Holy Spirit has little governance in our lives. And if that be true, would you not say that we're in deep trouble? How can we hear the voice of the Lord if we're not walking in the ways of the Lord? How can we hear the voice of the Lord if his spirit is not, his spirit is not resonating within it? Oh, you say, well, when I was born again, I was born again according to the Spirit of God. Okay, then why aren't you living according to it? Interesting questions. You see, oftentimes we have what you might call just simple quotes. We like to live according to simple quotes from the Bible, but not according to the Spirit. And so today we need some fresh oil. Our guest today, Chris Garcia, coming from Arkansas. He says it's Arkansas. Some have told me it was Arkansas, but he says it's Arkansas, so we'll stick with Arkansas. He's bringing us his book, Fresh Oil, Secrets to Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And Chris, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you so much, Chuck, for having me on. It's been a joy and a pleasure just being on and talking with you concerning fresh oil and cultivating intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You said something that really struck a chord in my heart. There are many that believe in God, but very few that believe on God. There is a difference. I'm reminded of James, where it says that you believe in God, even the devils believe in God.
Exactly. So yeah. Belief in God isn't what God is looking after. In fact, He says, I am so obvious that to believe in me, you'd have to be crazy, because even the devil believes and trembles. So the problem is not whether we believe in him, it's whether we believe him, take him at his word, trust him, and walk in his spirit, right?
Absolutely. See, there's a difference between believing in, and then there's a difference between believing on. You know, I'm reminded of in the book of Acts with the jailer, when he heard the gospel for the first time, he said, what do we do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus. To believe on someone is what we're talking about. It's not enough to believe in something. We've got to believe him, take him at his word, and this requires intentional intimacy, or what I refer to as friendship with God. That's what he was looking for.
You know, years ago, Chris, my wife and I were privileged to be at America's foremost plantation. It's called the Monmouth Plantation. And it was an amazing experience that we had there. And my wife actually was asked to be a docent there because we had met the owner of that plantation in Southern California at a church meeting. So we were there, and they had a gift shop. And in that gift shop, we noticed a very special plaque that we purchased. It said this: if you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? If you don't feel close to God, guess who moved?
That's so true.
Well, that's part of your testimony, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah, you didn't feel close to God. You were born again. You were walking with God, excited about your life in the Lord, and then you drifted away. You weren't walking according to the Spirit, and you didn't feel close to God. And the revelation that you received was, hey, I'm the one that moved. God didn't leave me. I left him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm reminded of the scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 where it says that it is by the blood of Christ we have been drawn near. And that's a reality. That's a promise. Sometimes we don't feel like we're drawing near or we're close, but the reality is that God never changes. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. The ones that are fickle and the ones that change are us. We are the ones that change. And for me, I had a very vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus when I first got born again. My first 2 years were marked with extraordinary fellowship and moments of powerful interaction with God.
Uh-huh.
But then little by little, you know, the fire started to kindle away, and I started to be drawn to other things. I began to grow distracted. I've allowed the different cares of life to choke out the mm-hmm. life of the Holy Spirit within me. And so it led me into a 10-year wilderness season. And it wasn't that God put me there. It's that I put myself there.
Oh, wait just a minute. I thought the Bible said no man can be taken out of the Father's hand.
Yeah.
But you took yourself out.
Yeah.
Nobody else took you out.
No.
You took yourself out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh.
Yeah, it was
okay.
My response.
Now, look, you don't fall out of love with your wife. You're married. You got three kids. And the issue isn't you really don't fall out of love with your wife. You just don't pay attention to the relationship that you had. And so the spirit between you becomes frazzled, becomes worn. And the same thing happens in our relationship with the Lord, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And people will be astounded to know that as you develop relationship with the Lord and throughout your years as you're serving God, and sometimes you're drawn away by other things or your heart grows cold, you know, you'll be astounded to know it is if you just cultivate just simple fellowship, paying attention back to the things of the Spirit of God, how that first love just begins to be rekindled. And it's really as simple as that.
And that's what we're talking about here today on Viewpoint, friends. The book Fresh Oil, Secrets to Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It's a $20 book, yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. We'll be right back after this.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment? Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Today, I happen to go to Walmart. Yes, occasionally I go to Walmart. And as I stood before the checker, she had a very unusual name. And so I asked her, I said, where are you from? She says, Egypt. And I said, well, what does your name mean? And she said, God saves me. That's what she said. God saves me. I said, are you a Coptic Christian or are you a Muslim or what are you? She says, I'm a Coptic Christian. Her name means God save me. You know, a lot of people, though, they think that the purpose of the Lord is just to save them from something. No, it's to save you to something. God wants us not to be saved from sin, but to be saved to walk in his Spirit with fresh oil. That really is what he's after. Too many people are so interested in notching their belt evangelistically. Oh, so many people raised their hand, or they signed the card, or they walked forward to this. That's not what God is really after. What he's really after is that we walk with him and talk with him and have intimacy with him, to have a love affair with him, to walk according to his Spirit. For if we don't walk according to his Spirit, we're going to walk according to the flesh. And if we walk according to the flesh, it reaps corruption. And that's why so many people, so many professing Christians, just don't have the joy of the Lord in their life. They just don't. They just don't, because they're not walking according to the Spirit. They're walking according to the flesh while claiming salvation because of a confession. Do you think when you married your wife, Chris, that what she really was looking for from you was a statement from you that I'm your husband and you're my wife? Is that what she was looking for?
No, oneness is what she was looking for.
Ah, in other words, that statement, the confession of I'm your husband and you're my wife, doesn't cut it, because that's just a declaration of the foundation of the relationship. What God's looking for is the relationship. What your wife was looking for was the relationship, right?
Absolutely. 100%. That's what God is always after. He's looking for an intentional relationship with him. And just like marriage, when the relationship is cultivated in marriage, it produces things. It produces things called children. And so, I liken fellowship with God very similar to the married life, in that when I first had my daughter, my wife, you know, she was glowing. She was pregnant. She was glowing. That was a direct relationship between me and her.
So she was growing and she was glowing.
Yes, she was growing, she was glowing, and you can tell that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Her appetite changed, her walk changed, everything about her changed because of that relationship, that moment of intimacy.
Well, how would people know if you were pregnant with the Holy Spirit?
Oh, absolutely.
How would they know that?
You would become pregnant with the fruit of the Spirit. You'd have joy, like you said earlier, joy, peace, love. It radiates out of someone. And when you're one with the Lord, that's the concept of our relationship. The aim of our intimacy with God is oneness with him, his Spirit in us, our Spirit in him. The scriptures say that they that are joined to their husbands or spouses, they're one flesh, but they that are joined to the Lord are one Spirit with him.
Mm.
The deeper oneness that he's inviting all of us to, he's not merely interested in just a profession of faith, as you said, but he's interested in a direct intimacy where your thoughts become the mind of Christ, your heart radiates with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, your life glows like a pregnant woman that is married. When we are married and betrothed to the Holy Spirit, we cultivate intentional, quiet time with him. We begin to grow in our fellowship with him. It becomes very evident that you're with him.
Well, it's like that song we used to sing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. It's like your first chapter, the first secret, the secret place. We have to be in a place, in a situation where we actually can cultivate that oneness with the Lord, that spirit of unity, where we quiet our hearts before him. And that just does not seem to be the way of American life. How do you quiet yourself before the Lord when you're constantly on some tech device?
Right. Yeah. We live in a generation where there is so much what I would call like outside stimulation, where we're, you know, it used to be before where people would get excited for getting, you know, mail in their letterboxes. Now you're getting notifications nonstop from the moment you wake up to the moment you sleep.
Yeah, and ones that you don't want. Most of them, don't want.
Yeah.
And they're trying to cultivate lust in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's always something that's waging war against your soul. And I really believe that the spirit of this age, specifically in America as well, is that we're so caught up in our distraction, in our notifications, and our addictions to stimulation. And we wonder why we can't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, because we've gotten away from the secret place and simplicity. And that's what God is desiring us to go back into, that we would carve away time and simply be with him in the secret place.
One of the secrets that you set forth in your book is getting still to hear God. He says, be still and know that I am God. But that's just totally antithetical to American life, isn't it?
It is 100% antithetical.
So how do you be still? I mean, you've got three kids, and you've got things you got to do. I've got things I got to do. I have three daughters, and now I have 10 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren. I got a lot of other people that are depending upon me. How do you be still amid all of that?
Yeah, for me, I carve out time where I'm the most quiet. And for me, I'm a morning person by nature.
I need you to speak directly into your phone instrument.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Mucho better.
Okay. Here, let me speak this way here. All right, I think this is better here.
Yes.
So for me, I intentionally carve out time where I'm the most quiet. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm a morning person. I love my early mornings.
Yeah.
And so just before my children, I have a 6-year-old, I have an 8-year-old, and I have a 15-year-old.
Uh-huh.
So just before they wake up and, you know, the busyness of life begins to hit, I will carve out at least 30 minutes to an hour, and I will go somewhere in seclusion. I have a little shed in my backyard, and I'll just shut away, and I just will sit there being present with the presence of God.
Now, is that a he shed or a she shed?
It's definitely a he shed, but my wife wants to make it a she shed.
I see. Okay. So she's lusting after your he shed.
Yeah. So half of the shed is mine and half of the shed is hers.
Okay. You know, I found, and you know, I've led a pretty busy life. I practiced law for 20 years in California. And, you know, it was pretty demanding. I had my own law practice, and we had kids in school. So I had to get up. I would purpose to get up about 5:30 in the morning and spend about 45 minutes to an hour with the Lord, meditating on his word and reading it and underlining it and connecting the dots between various passages and so on. And it was during that time that I would be quiet before him. There was nothing else going on in the house. And we need that kind of quiet time, don't we?
Absolutely. And it depends. It's dependent upon us at this time. I really believe that God is wanting to pour out his spirit in a fresh, vibrant way, looking for those whom he will show himself strong to. But it requires us to pull away and to live the Jesus life. If you study the life of Christ, yes, he did powerful miracles. He cast the devils. He healed the sick. He was known for power. But those that were closest to him, they said things like, teach us to pray. They never said teach us to prophesy or even to teach us to preach. Mm-hmm. Teach us to pray, because they saw a direct relationship with the power of God flowing out of his own life and his prayer life. There was some sort of relationship.
Even Jesus himself had to get away from the busyness of life. People were mobbing him as he would perform miracles and teach. And so he would even get away from his disciples, and he'd go out into the mountain to pray and to spend time with his Father. And if Jesus needed to do that, all the more so we do, don't we?
Absolutely. And that's the Son of God. How much more we. And I love it, because when we read the Gospels, when Jesus is doing that, it will often say he was spending time in the fourth watch of the night, which is the hours between 3 and 6 in the morning, or other translations, specifically in the Gospel of Mark, he says way before the sun arose, he went to a secluded place and there he prayed. And I think the old saints, knew this as well. If you study church history, many of these men and women of God would spend time early in the morning before there was any activity. And there's something about that. There's something about carving intentional time when it's the most quiet. Now, there are people that maybe the morning time, that can't happen. I believe that God is not looking just for a formula of time. He's looking for your attention. And so maybe for some, the nighttime is something that would work for them. Or maybe with the hustle and bustle of life, maybe between lunch shifts, on your lunch shift.
Especially if you're taking a fiesta or siesta, right?
Yeah. Ow. Oh, yeah. I love those.
Yeah.
It's rest. God is very, one of the things that really strike me about the presence of God is that rest is always often associated with it. When Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, my presence, and all who are weary and heavy with laden, I will give you rest for your soul. He's quoting from the Pentateuch where it says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. When Moses is speaking with God in Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
There's something between rest and his presence. But in order for us to experience that refreshing, restful presence, we've got to look for the moments of rest in our lives and go and pursue the presence of God in those moments.
Well, he says, come ye apart and be ye separate.
Yes.
And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. And that has a twofold implication. One, you have to come apart with him, away from the pressures of the world and so on. Then you also have to come apart from the world itself and be part of his family, his sons and daughters. So it's a twofold implication for us, and it's so critical. You know, it must have been 15, 20 years ago, the Lord put upon my heart that after all the years of our marriage and so on, we've been married 58 years now, and after all the years and children and grandchildren, basically our house was empty. And I had been spending quality time with the Lord myself every single day without fail. It didn't matter whether we were on vacation, or it didn't matter what we were doing. But then the Lord said, you know what? Your wife needs you. You need to incorporate your wife in this. So I said, okay, sweetheart, from now on, you and I are going to get up in the morning. When we get up, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to spend time in the Word. We're going to read it together. We're going to discuss it. We're going to apply it. We're going to pray. And I'm going to fix the coffee ahead of time so that all we have to do is punch the button. And we're not going to have any other interruptions. And that's what we've done for the past 20 years or so. And you know what my wife says about that? She said it was the greatest thing that ever happened in our marriage.
Wow. That's so powerful.
She says, I've been waiting for this togetherness.
Yeah.
And so God has been waiting for it too, hasn't he?
Oh, he has. There's a statistic that I tell my church all the time. They discovered that married couples that spend intentional time in prayer, the probability of them sticking together is 90%. So it's a very powerful truth.
Yeah.
People that pray together stay together.
All right, friends. Chris Garcia, our special guest today with his book, Fresh Oil, Secrets to Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And we've just scratched the surface so far. We really have. $18 will put this $20 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. saveus.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at saveus.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Well, if we have the Spirit of Christ, we should therefore have the mind of Christ and walk in the Word and the will of Christ. So why don't we? Interesting rhetorical questions. You see, when we study the Word of God, when we get in the Word of God, the whole purpose for it is to ask rhetorical questions. That's why God gives us His Word. In fact, He says He's exalted His Word even above His own name. That's how important God considers His Word. So why don't we consider it that important? Why is it men aren't reading the Word? Why is it we're having to look at screens, we're having to listen via this, that, or the other? Why is it we don't read the Word? Why is it we don't meditate on the Word of God? If we don't consider the Word of God as important as He does, how can we say we're living according to the Spirit of God? Maybe that's one of the reasons why we don't have intimacy with the Holy Spirit. What say you, Chris?
Absolutely. I think the intake of the Word of God is absolutely paramount to our development in our relationship with the Lord. It's the equivalent of saying, I drink water, but I don't eat any food. And what prayer...
Oh, no, I know that's not true for a Hispanic guy like you that lives on burritos and all of that, right? Tostitos and burritos.
No, but that's how it is spiritually. Many of us, you know, we have, you know, I liken the prayer life, the life of worship and prayer and intimacy as water for us.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fountain of living water. But the Word of God is like bread. It's like manna. It's like sustenance, meat for us.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is there's a lot of Christians that are unfortunately develop a spiritual atrophy where they no longer meditate or read the Word of God. And it's very important that we do both. We need both to eat and drink physically in order to sustain life. And in order to sustain the spiritual life, we must do the same. We must meditate on the Word of God, the words of God, and then we need to contemplate that before the Lord in prayer. And what prayer is to drinking, if the Word of God is to eating.
Mm.
And it's a very, very powerful dynamic. A lot of believers do not understand who they are in the Lord Jesus. They don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know whose they are. They don't understand what's already been made available to them, neither do they understand what's been given for them. And so what ends up happening is that they walk about in a spiritual darkness.
And days, if not darkness, at least a daze.
A daze, exactly.
Yeah.
They're not really knowing what's been made available. Well, how can we know if we're not in the Word of God and chewing it for ourselves?
Yeah. Chewing it, that's one way of talking about meditating. The word meditate is very much like a cow that ruminates, an animal that ruminates. In other words, chews their cud, chews over and over and over and over again. And that's what God wants us to do with His Word. And there are ways to go about that. And it wasn't until I began to learn about that many years after becoming a Christian that all of a sudden things began to make a lot more difference in my life. You know, there's a song we used to sing, it's a very simple song, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Well, how can we know how to trust and obey if we're not spending quality time in his word every day?
Absolutely.
What are we trusting? What are we obeying? It's like we're living in a no man's land spiritually.
And to the Lord Jesus, the abiding life is found in the meditation of the word of God and to be in prayer with him. We see it in John chapter 15. He says, abide in me and I will abide in you. Then he says, abide in my word and my words will abide in you. And you can ask what you wish or what you desire and it will be done for you. And so we've got to go back to abiding the word of God.
Well, it's the big word. It's the biggest little word in the Bible. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then. And a lot of people don't realize that there's a requirement for us to be involved in walking with the Lord. And part of our walk with him is prayer, yes, but part of our walk with him is meditating on the word and obeying the word. So if we're not hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit that is going to that is watching over his word to perform it, then how are we going to be doers of the word and not hearers only?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And it's very important that we do those things. Obedience, the word, and prayer. Those three things. And it's fascinating because if you going back to John 15 about the abiding life, he says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Well, how are you going to know what those commandments are if you're not in the word yourself?
You know what some people will say? They'll say, many people are going to say, oh, well, we're not under the law. We don't have to do commandments anymore. I was born again and that's it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that the word, all of the word of God has instruction and command. And so, for example, all of the epistles of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to strictly look at the New Testament, all of the epistles of Paul, all of the letters, all of the letters that he wrote, there are clear instructions of what it means to live a spirit-filled life, how to walk in love, how to prefer your brothers and the Lord, how to maintain oneness and unity.
Well, that's what all the epistles are for. Not just Paul's epistles, but John, James, Peter, they're all in order to give instruction in righteousness that the man or woman of God may be perfect, truly furnished for every good work.
Absolutely. My favorite passage about that is found in Peter's writings in the epistles of Peter. I believe it's 1 Peter, where it says that he's given us these great and exceeding precious promises.
Right.
By these things, we'll be able to partake of God's divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world. There is a participation that comes. There's these great, precious promises that as we cling to these promises and as we receive these promises and as we do these things, we believe them, we receive them, there's a participation in God's divine nature. God wants us to participate with him. It's out of his love. The gospel has been made available to us. The Holy Spirit has now been given to us. The word of God has been granted now to us. Now it's us to yield and to respond, to listen to the word, to meditate upon the word, to obey the word of God. That is participating in our fellowship with God.
So if we want the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us, those things have to be an integral part of our life every day, right?
Absolutely. If we want fresh oil in our lives, we've got to continually go before the Lord in prayer to develop a prayer life, to develop a life of meditation of the scriptures, and to live a life of obedience. We need to obey what the scriptures say. We need to reflect on the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, we with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the mirror is likened to the word of God. We see in the epistle of James that the perfect law of liberty is like a mirror. He says, we with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. will, and then it says, will be transformed according to the image that we behold, for this comes by the Spirit of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
True transformation comes by beholding the mirror of God's word, seeing the glory of God's word, seeing the glory of God and who he is through the lens of the scriptures, seeing him and being rightly changed.
Well, Chris, here's the problem. Here's one of the things that I've encountered. People will say, well, I'm afraid to get into the word of God because it might show me what I really am. In other words, they don't want to look in the mirror.
Really.
They don't want to look in the mirror, and yet the word of God is entitled to be a mirror. And isn't it interesting? In the book of Hebrews, it says that without holiness, no man will ever see the Lord. So we can ask ourselves some rhetorical questions. Am I walking in holiness and in righteousness? And if not, why not? What that would be impairing the Holy Spirit living in and through me. I can say or protest all I want that I'm saved. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not walking according to the Spirit, am I walking according to the Spirit of salvation that purportedly saved me? There's something wrong. There's a tremendous hypocrisy in some of our theology, I think.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. And the thing is that it's not enough just to say, oh, yeah, on this day, on this time, I gave my life to the Lord, and there's no fruit that bears it. John the Baptist, when introducing the ministry of Christ on the earth, spoke to the Pharisees, and he said, produce fruit according to your repentance.
And
that's what it is. It's a life that is changed and shifted, is a life that shows the fruit of salvation. Now, that's not to be confused with the scripture does say it's by grace through faith. No man can boast that the gift of salvation is a free gift, but it manifests or is seen by a life of obedience.
Well, in other words, you can't create your own salvation, but indeed, if you really are saved, it's going to reveal that you are a Christ one, that Christ is in you, and that his Spirit is ruling in your life supremely. So I have a question before you, before we go into the next break. Can you be a viewer of pornography and be walking in the Spirit?
No.
Well, I want you to think about that and talk to us about that after this coming break. Fresh oil, friends, secrets to intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Now, here we have a lot of inspiration. We need all the inspiration that we can possibly gather for times like these, don't we? So here's a $20 book, yours for $18, on our website, saveus.org, to encourage, to strengthen you in times like these. All right? So, get a copy. 1-800-SAVE-USA. Give us a call. 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries at $6 for postage and handling. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
+70% of professing Christian men, according to the latest statistics for the past 10 years, 70% admit to being involved in pornography, which in effect is visual, mental adultery or fornication. That's what it is. 34% of professing Christian women are indulging in their own forms of pornography. 30+% of Christian pastors admit to being troubled themselves by pornography. Can we possibly say that we're walking in intimacy with the Holy Spirit when we're allowing those things to persist in our lives, Chris?
Absolutely not. Well, the thing is that these things, first of all, they can be totally forgiven. You know, many people walk around with a plague of guilt and great condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
And because of these things, because of these entrapments that easily beset people, they disqualify themselves to enter the presence of the Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit that will enable the sanctifying work of grace upon a person's soul if they yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. I know many people that were in bondage to that particular issue,
mm-hmm.
that particular sin, and especially in this day and age, it is so accessible. It's at the fingertips.
Right.
You can get it in your own phone, you know. And,
right.
But what it is yielding. These dictates, these temptations have been, people get into the stronghold because they give into and yield to it. The thing with this is how to break free from that. I go back to this, throwing yourself to the presence of the Holy Spirit, asking God to convict you, asking the Holy Spirit to give you repentance, and allowing Him to work within you and confessing the sin. And we cannot serve two masters. We're either going to serve our flesh or we're going to serve the Spirit. But we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, pleasing unto God, which the scripture says is actually our reasonable form
worship.
Of worship.
Yeah, exactly.
And so with all of this stimulation, with all of these things that are constantly craving, putting cravings in people's flesh, what do we do to get rid of this? Well, as I said before, you've got to renew your mind to the Word of God. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to bring about deep conviction and sorrow for sin and throw yourself at His presence. The presence of God will do the work of liberty for you.
All right, but the problem with the pornography is much like cocaine. It's an addiction. Some say that pornography may actually be stronger than cocaine.
Yes.
It does something in the brain, in the mind, and in reality, it's one expression of spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
We will either yield to the flesh or we'll yield to the Spirit.
Yes.
That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus said that to Nicodemus. And so we can't deceive ourselves thinking that we're walking in the Spirit when indeed we're actually submitting to the lordship of the flesh. God wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to be overcomers. In fact, right now, I'm writing my 12th book that has to do with the power to overcome. And not just pornography. There are many things that we have to be overcomers. We're in warfare, spiritual warfare. And we want to walk with the Spirit. We want to walk according to the Spirit. We want to hear the voice of the Spirit saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. We want to hear the voice of the Spirit. But we can't do that when we're hearing every other voice and yielding it to it, can we?
No. Yeah, and these things constantly crave our attention. There's voices. And so what ends up, I get a lot of people that ask me, I have a hard time hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And oftentimes when I'm talking with people, what I'll begin to realize is that there are other voices that are dictating their lives louder than the gentle whisper of the Spirit.
Well, it's because they're not spending time in the Word.
Exactly.
They're not being still before God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so that's what it is. The gentle whisper of the Spirit is hushed and silenced by the loud voices of distractions, cares, and flesh. And so the reality is that we've got to pull ourselves away and make time for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I was just reading today. I was with a leader today, and I was doing a discipleship of leadership with this individual at my church.
Uh-huh.
And I was walking him through Galatians chapter 5, and specifically, namely, the 22nd verse. It talks about now the works of the, now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith, self-control. The question that I posed was, how do we allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to permeate in our lives? And I brought out the Amplified Classic version of the New Testament, and it says, the fruit of the Spirit, and then in brackets it says, the effect of the and the work of the presence within accomplishes love, joy, uh-huh. peace. And so I told him, I said, in order to cultivate the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you've got to cultivate intentional time with the Holy Spirit so that he can cultivate his fruit that manifests through you. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm shocked at how simple it is when we spend time with him. When we spend time with him, you'll begin to notice that the love walk, the joy, the peace, all of the attributes, the fruit of the Spirit just become a side effect.
Right.
Because you're spending time with them.
So if you're spending time with your spouse, it just might make a huge difference in the spirit of your relationship. If you're Absolutely. Spending time with your kids, not watching television, not doing worldly things, but if you're really spending quality time with your kids, it might just change dramatically the spirit of your household. And
Absolutely.
So it's contagious. If we're walking in the Spirit of the Lord, it becomes contagious and affects every single area of our lives. When the Bible says, wait on the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart, what do you think that means?
The word wait is the Hebrew word which means to twist or braid. You find it also in Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall receive renewal of strength.
Right.
Many people don't understand what waiting means. Waiting, people think there's like, well, if I sit here for some X, Y, and Z to happen, or I sit here until God says something. To wait before the Lord is simply just to be an expectation and to sit waiting before his presence. What happens is that there's a braiding that begins to take place. There's the mind of God, the mind of Christ, and your mind, your spirit, his spirit, through the word of God and through prayer, become one. And that's the benefit of waiting. The benefit of waiting is that braiding together of the character of God within your own character and the renewal of strength that comes with it. So waiting before God is, I would say, if you have 10 minutes to spend time with God, spend 9 minutes waiting. And you'll find that
All right.
there is so
much. I recently had a conversation with someone who said that for several months they had been praying for God to do certain things, and they didn't happen, so they decided to walk away from the Lord. Mm. He didn't give them what they wanted. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? For 5 minutes? 5 hours? 5 days? Five
right.
weeks? 5 months? Abraham had to wait on the Lord for 25 years to fulfill the promise to him concerning his son. So How do we work this out in the spirit? You see, if we want fresh oil, we're going to have to be patient before God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We must be patient before God. And I love what you said, because waiting is not just limited to, a one day thing. It can be as long as longing can be.
Mm.
I believe that as we're spending time with God every day, we should incorporate moments of waiting and lingering in God's presence, and
right.
that will teach us to be patient as time is enveloping and unfolding in things. The scripture says, let patience have its perfect work so that you'll be complete, lacking nothing.
That was Jesus' brother that said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So completedness, completion rather, or maturity, comes through patience. And if you look at a fruit tree doesn't grow the moment it's planted. There's a progression of time.
Right.
There's an unfolding of events. there is a work of patience that happens that produces a ripening of fruit at just the right time. It's the same way with the Lord. Sometimes things happen instantaneously. Other times it takes a moment, or other times it'll take an unfolding of events that may take longer than usual. But the promise is that there's a perfected work of maturity that happens if you embrace the waiting. So embracing the waiting is a blessing that many people don't realize that it's there.
Especially in an impatient America.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, we want instant fulfillment of everything.
Microwave Christianity.
There you, that speaks well. Microwave Christianity. Hey, listen, Chris, you're a blessing, my friend. You have a 15-year-old son. How are you communicating this to him as a 15-year-old in American, what they call spirituality that isn't spiritual?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what me and my son do, I take him out intentionally at least once a week, and I'll take him out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get him out of what he understands in his own, in the house, and you know where he's at.
Right.
And I just begin to talk to him about how he's doing, and then I slowly begin to, you know, talk about the Lord, and mm-hmm. He really enjoys that. One of the things that really blessed me is that he sees by example the life that I live, and he, because of that example that he sees, he desires that. And so, like, for example, there was one day where he's like, Dad, he says to me, I see how much God is blessing the ministry. And I believe it has a lot to do with you being with the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And he sees me. He sees me go out to my shed. He sees me sit before the Lord. He sees me doing these things. And he sees the relationship of blessing that is conferred upon the family. Because I assume my headship as a priest.
And he's experiencing the joy of the presence with his father, with you. And the scripture says that in his, the Lord's presence, is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So that involves the fresh oil and anointing of his spirit. Secrets, Friends to Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It's a $20 book, yours for just $18. It's going to inspire your heart. It's going to help redirect you. What a gift that would be to yourself, to your family, even as you're pressing on to complete this year and launch into a new year. Not with promises, but with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. $18 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, that's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. If you're writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling. Make sure that you're waiting on the Lord. Make sure you're meditating on his word. Make sure you're getting a part in the secret place. Make sure that you're walking in the mind of Christ. Make sure that the word of God is dwelling in you richly. Then you will know that Christ is in you, which is the hope of glory. And yes, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Gratitude. If you don't have a heart of gratitude, you're not walking in the Spirit. Guaranteed. Guaranteed, my friend. Chris, thanks so much for joining with us. As I said, you're a blessing, my friend. Keep investing yourself in the life of your three kids and your spouse. You're a wonderful translator of the kingdom of God, the righteousness that is by faith, and the Spirit of Christ. Thank you so much. God bless. And friends, again, get a copy of this book, Fresh Oil, Secrets to Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It's on our website, saveus.org. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Don't wait for the other guy to do it. He's not doing it. If you hear the voice of the Lord, be responsive. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.